There's a time and a place for a fillet of fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart, or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
About what time was it that you left the location?
Approximately, it was after 1:30. Approximately 1:30, 1:45.
So this is maybe an hour later. Later than what we've just been discussing.
Yes.
Seeing the SUV. Who did you leave with?
I left with my husband, Matt, and Julie Nagel and Sarah Levinson.
Who was driving?
Sorry, my husband, Matt, was driving.
And where was Sarah Levinson and Julie Nagel sitting in that SUV?
They were in the back seat.
By the way, what kind of SUV were you in that night?
A Yukon.
Four-door, extended seating?
Yes.
When the SUV pulled out of the driveway, it was in the driveway?
Yes.
When the SUV backed out of the driveway, doing a three-point turn, backed out of the driveway, did it go toward Chapman or did it go toward Cedar Crest?
It went towards Chapman.
So as you backed out of the driveway, you would have been heading toward the flagpole side of the property rather than back toward the driveway side of the property, correct?
Correct.
You would have driven directly adjacent to the area where John O'Keefe's body was later discovered at 6:04, 6:03 a.m., correct?
Yes, correct.
You were seated in the passenger seat of the vehicle, not the driver's seat.
Correct.
You were seated in the front of the vehicle, not the back seat.
Correct.
You would have been closest to the yard as y'all drove past, correct?
Correct.
That's a newer model Yukon. I'm assuming that the headlights automatically turn on at night?
Yes.
So the headlights were illuminated?
Yes.
Did your husband, Matt, did he turn on the brights or did he leave the beams on low? Or do you know?
I don't know.
But certainly the area in front of that SUV, that Yukon, was well lit.
The lights were on, yes.
You did not see anything out of the ordinary as you drove right by that location, did you?
I was looking in the back seat when we were driving.
Did you see anything out of the ordinary on that lawn as you drove by in that SUV?
No, because I wasn't looking at the lawn.
You certainly did not see John O'Keefe dressed in dark clothing laying prostrate in the lawn?
No, I did not.
You said that you were turned around talking to the other young ladies in the SUV, Julie Nagel and Sarah Levinson, is that right?
Yes.
You indicated that you were engaged with them about a conversation having to do with bread and maybe peanut butter or something.
Yes.
you didn't, as you passed by that location adjacent to where John's body was later discovered, you didn't hear Julie Nagel say anything out of the ordinary about having seen something?
No.
You didn't hear Sarah Levinson say anything out of the ordinary about having seen something?
No.
And according to you, you were turned around, directly engaged with both these young ladies as you passed by that area where John's body was later discovered. Is that right?
When we pulled out, I turned around and I was talking to them about the bread and the peanut butter. I'm not sure exactly where we were driving, but it was when we pulled out, yes.
You certainly never heard anybody say anything like, what was that, or anything close to that?
No, I didn't.
I'd like to turn your attention to your arrival back at 34 Fairview just after 6 a.m. the next morning. You indicate that the visibility was relatively poor and that you could not see John O'Keefe on that lawn from your perspective, correct?
The visibility was extremely poor, and no, I could not see him.
You were in the front seat, passenger side?
Yes, I was.
It was Karen Reed who actually saw Mr. O'Keefe, jumped out of the car, and began attending to him immediately, correct?
Karen got out of the car and ran to John O'Keefe.
And you stayed by the car, and Ms. Roberts ran over to assist Ms. Reed in giving first aid at least initially, to Mr. O'Keefe. Is that right?
No, that is not. Carrie got out and walked over, and then I got out and walked over.
You indicated that Well, let me ask a different question. Yesterday, you testified in pretty significant detail that when you got out of the car, you could not see anything even close to the flagpole, correct?
Visibility was very bad, yes.
Matter of fact, you used the word whiteout conditions. Is that right?
Yes, I did.
Whiteout conditions, you basically can't see your hand in front of your face.
I wouldn't say that extreme, but I used whiteout as there's just snow coming at you.
You were specifically asked by Mr. Brennan, how close did you have to get before you could actually see anything of note where Ms. Reed had gone? Is that right?
Yes.
You testified yesterday that you could see just merely shadowy figures of Ms. Reed and Carrie Roberts, and it wasn't until you got very close over to them that you could see John, in your words.
Correct.
As a matter of fact, you followed that up by saying that that was the first moment, once you got basically on top of them, that was the first moment that you realized that it was John, that there was a body on the ground, correct?
I said as I got close to them, I don't think on top of them.
Fair enough. It's my words, not yours. You did say, quote, very close to them, correct?
I'd have to see it, but...
Well, you just testified to it yesterday. And you remember saying, I'd get very close to them.
I know, I said I had got very close to them or close to them, something like that, okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't have a transcript of yesterday's testimony, I'm sorry. Last year you testified to something very different than that, though, didn't you?
No.
Isn't it true that last year you testified that you got out on the passenger side of the vehicle, which is, we'll agree, the furthest side from the lawn, as Ms. Roberts was driving from Chapman toward Crestview, Cedar Crest, correct?
Yes.
You testified that you were on the passenger side, and as you got out of the vehicle, you noted that Karen Reed was already at John. Is that right?
As I got out and walked around the back of the vehicle, the shadowy figure of Karen had already gotten onto something.
You further testified that as you got out of the vehicle, you noted that she straddled John, lifted up his shirt, lifted up her shirt, and went to lay on him. And Miss Roberts went over and said she started removing snow from John's face, correct?
I have the page and line number.
Where are you, Mr. Jackson?
May 17, 2024, RT 114, lines 14 to bottom onto 115, line 4. Is that how you testified last year?
I'm sorry, would you mind just repeating it?
Sure.
Thank you.
You testified in substance that you were on the passenger side of the vehicle, and as you got out, quote, as I got out, end quote, she, Miss Reed, was already at John. You indicated that you saw her straddle him, lift up his shirt, lift up her shirt, and lay on top of him while Miss Roberts went over and removed snow from his face. That's how you testified last year, correct?
Exactly.
Is that how you testified last year?
I'm not sure. I know.
Next question.
Would it refresh your recollection if you were looking at a copy of your testimony from last year?
I don't think looking at it would refresh my memory. I know I might have used different words, but the bottom line is I got out of the car, went behind the car, went over, and Karen had done that.
Ms. McCabe, I'm asking, do you think it would refresh your, if you don't have a good recollection of how you testified last year, under oath, sitting on that witness stand, I'm asking, do you think it would refresh your recollection to see your transcript from last year?
I don't need to see my transcript. I know what I know, and I know what I remember, so.
That's not my question. I'm not asking what you remember now. I'm asking how you testified a year ago, ma'am.
Whether I said it was as, we're fighting over silly words, whether I said it was got out of the car, are we there?
Words matter. They matter a lot.
Okay, so remember, Mr. Jackson, no comments. Ms. McKay, tell you to answer his question.
Okay.
Do you remember exactly how it is that you testified last year?
I do not, no.
May I approach?
Yes.
Thank you.
May I, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. McCabe, does that refresh your recollection as to how you testified in substance last year?
I see what it says, I said, but it's a little bit different than what you stated.
Okay, then let's walk through that. Did you indicate last year that as you got out of the vehicle, that's when you could see what Ms. Reed was doing with John O'Keefe, down to the detail of pulling her shirt up and pulling his shirt up to try to go skin to skin?
I object.
Why don't I see it side by side? Why don't you bring it to Mr. Jackson, please? All right, now you can go ahead.
Thank you. Ms. McCabe, is it true that you had the following colloquy last year on this subject? Answer, I was on the passenger side, so as I got out, she was already at John. Question, so she gets out and essentially makes a beeline over to where John was. Answer, correct. Question, and you're getting out of the passenger side, and by the time you come around the car, she's already there. Answer, yes. Question, and when she gets over there, what, if anything, could you see at that point? Answer, she straddles John and lifts up his shirt, and then she lifted up her shirt and went to lay on him, and Miss Roberts went over and she was removing the snow from his face. Is that how you testified last year?
Yes, that's how I answered the questions.
Okay. clearly you didn't indicate last year that it was whiteout conditions. You could see nothing of the kind, and you had to get, quote unquote, very close to them before you could see anything, correct?
Objection.
Sustained. It's the first word that's problematic, Mr. Johnson.
Yesterday you testified that it was whiteout conditions. You had to leave the car, walk all the way over and get, quote unquote, very close to John before you recognized that it was even a body. Is that right?
Yes.
But last year you testified that you were still at the car when you noted the detail of Karen basically giving life-saving aid to John. You can see that clearly, all the way from the car, correct?
Objection.
Is that what you said, Ms. McCabe?
No.
Is there a reason, Ms. McCabe, that you might wish to improve your testimony this year than last year, over last year, with regard to the distance that you could see Ms. Reed engaged with Mr. O'Keefe?
No.
Are you trying to suggest or improve your testimony to suggest that you had no idea that there was a body there and nobody reasonably could have even seen a body there as you drove up?
Objection.
Is that what you're trying to say, Ms. Reed?
Ms. McCabe.
McCabe.
Can you repeat the question, please?
Not sure. I'll give it a shot.
I'm sorry.
Are you trying to improve your testimony this year over last year to suggest that reasonably nobody could have seen where John was from the car?
I'm not trying to improve my testimony now.
You claimed on direct examination today, as a matter of fact, that Ms. Reed looked at you at the scene and said the phrase, "I hit him, I hit him, I hit him." She said it three times very distinctly, according to your testimony, correct?
She did, yes.
That was so impactful that it had the effect of putting you in some sort of shock and horror. Is that right?
I was in shock the whole morning, but that statement definitely was a lot.
And that's an incredibly memorable statement for you to have heard and now recount to us in this trial, correct?
Correct.
Something that you wouldn't easily forget or overlook. Is that right?
Something I wouldn't.
Something you would not easily forget or overlook. Is that right?
Correct, yes.
As a matter of fact, some might say it's the centerpiece of your testimony.
Objection.
Sustained.
Ms. McCabe, you testified at a grand jury in April of 2022, did you not?
I did, yes.
Before you testified, you took an oath, very much like the oath that you took before you testified in this case, correct?
Correct.
You swore to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, correct?
Correct.
And that included the whole truth at the state grand jury, correct?
Correct.
That was only weeks after this incident, right? April 26th versus January 29th, 2022. Is that right?
Correct, yes.
Things were much fresher in your mind then than they are now.
I wouldn't necessarily say that.
Especially something as momentous as an admission from my client that she hit him. Would you agree?
Would I agree that she said that?
Would you agree that that would be fresh in your mind? Something as momentous as that. You wouldn't forget that.
I will never forget it.
You wouldn't overlook that.
I will never forget it.
You would not overlook that either, would you, Ms. McCabe?
I answer the questions I'm asked.
Can you answer the question that I just asked? You're not answering my question. Would you overlook that?
No.
And the reason you wouldn't overlook it is because it was so impactful on you, having heard that. Not once, not twice, three times. I hit him, I hit him, I hit him. Is that right?
Yes.
May I approach?
Yes.
Thank you.
Take a look at that document and tell me if you recognize it.
It's, yes, I see it.
Is that a transcript of your entire testimony at the grand jury in April of 2022?
I believe so, yes.
You've reviewed it in the past?
I have read it about a year ago, yes.
You read it in anticipation of your testimony a year ago, correct?
Yes, I reviewed it.
Have you reviewed it in preparation for your testimony today?
No, I haven't.
Yesterday. Ms. McCabe, turn to the page or pages in that transcript where you recount to the grand jurors that my client said, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him.
This is over 227 pages.
Take your time.
How long did you say it was, Ms. McCabe?
227.
I'm not going to let her read 227 pages.
You reviewed it before, haven't you?
I reviewed it a year ago, yes.
You read the whole thing cover to cover, didn't you?
I skimmed through it.
One of the most important points in your testimony yesterday and today is recounting these jurors, the phrase, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him. Is that right?
Objection.
To the form of that, I'm sustaining it.
Was it important to you to tell these jurors that you heard my client say, I hit him three times?
I answered the questions and I'm telling the jurors what I know.
Was it important to you before testifying today that you recount to these jurors the phrase, I hit him, coming out of my client's mouth?
Your client said she hit him, yes.
That's not my question. Listen to my question, Ms. McCabe.
I'm sorry.
Was it important to you, before you testified, to tell these jurors, under oath, that my client said, I hit him three times?
As a juror, I mean, as a witness, it's important to tell the truth and to answer the question you were asked.
And in point of fact, in your entire grand jury testimony, you never said, my client said the words, I hit him, did you?
Again, it's 227 pages.
Ms. McCabe, you were there. They're your words. I'm not asking you to rehearse something. You were there. Did you tell the grand jurors that my client said I hit him?
I have testified a number of times, but I was there the morning of January 29th when your client said I hit him, I hit him, I hit him.
Did you tell that to the grand jurors?
I'm not sure.
It's because you didn't, did you?
Again, I'm not sure.
Ms. McCabe, you were asked in your grand jury testimony no fewer than a dozen times, 12 times, 12 separate times, you were asked to repeat words that my client said both before, going to, and at the scene at 34th Fairview that morning. Correct?
Objection.
Do you know the answer to that?
No.
You were asked multiple times what my client's words were that you heard her say going to and at the scene, correct?
I was, correct.
And you recounted those words truthfully and honestly at that time, correct?
Correct.
Because you were under the same oath that you're under today.
Correct.
And things were much fresher in your mind then than they are now, 3.5 years later. Would you agree with that?
I hit him, I hit him, I hit him is just as fresh today as it was 3 years ago.
Turn to page 190, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure.
for court and counsel, lines 10 and 11.
Which lines? I'm sorry.
10 and 11.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
You recounted what Ms. Reed said to you over the phone to the grand jurors, correct?
Correct.
And what she said at 4:53 a.m. was, did I hit him? Did. Correct?
She didn't say that at 4:53.
Did you testify that what Ms. Reed said to you that morning over the phone was, could I have hit him? Did I hit him?
Yes, I did.
May I approach?
Yes.
May I?
Oh, sure.
Wanted to verify a page number, Your Honor. May I approach?
Yes. Why don't you tell Mr. Brennan the page number?
I will, with each one. If you turn to page 192. Line 4. What did you tell the grand jurors my client said in that answer?
Foundation.
What are we talking about?
I'll ask it a different way. Did you answer a question on page 192, line 4, concerning my client's statement?
Did I answer a question?
You were answering a question, correct?
Oh, yes, yes. Right. I'm sorry.
And the answer that you gave to the grand jurors was, she said, could I have hit him? Correct?
Yes, that's part of the answer I gave.
Turn to page 193.
I'd object.
So I don't want to have to see it side by. We need context in order for this to be admissible, Mr. Jackson. I have no idea what that said.
Your Honor, everyone, I can make an offer of proof at sidebar, if you
okay,
wish.
Okay, why don't you come to sidebar?
Sure.
And bring the...
May I first witness?
Yes. Do you have an extra copy for yourself, Mr.
Jackson?
Notes. Okay.
I have notes.
Thank you.
I think my notes will suffice. On page 192, line 4, for context, were you talking about a statement that was made in Karen's car on that morning before you got to the scene?
192.
192, line 4.
Yes, that was a comment she made in the car.
And she said the phrase, you recounted that she said the phrase, could I have hit him, correct?
Yes, that was part of my answer.
Take a look at page 193, lines 1 through 2. This was also in the context of a conversation that was in Karen's car, correct?
Yes.
And the phrase that you attributed to my client was, could I have hit him? The question, correct?
Yes.
Page 193, line 23. In the context of being in John's driveway at One Meadows?
Yes.
And you attributed the statement, and she's asking if she could have hit him, correct?
Yes, when she showed me her taillight.
Page 201, lines 23 and 24. This is driving to Fairview. She asked, what if I hit him? Could I have hit him? Correct?
Can you tell me the lines?
I'm sorry. Lines 23 and 24. Page 201.
Okay, sorry. Okay, I've read it.
She stated, according to you, what if I hit him? Could I have hit him? Correct?
Yes, she did.
Page 202, top of the page, line 1 and 2. Again, in context, this is driving to Fairview before you arrived at Fairview. And she again asked, quote, according to you and your testimony in front of the grand jury, could I have hit him? Correct?
Yes, I see that here as part of my answer.
Then turn to page 208, lines 24 and 25.
I'm sorry, what? Lines 24 and 25?
Lines 24 and 25. Let me know when you've...
I've read them. Thank you.
Those. For context, this is at the scene, outside Fairview.
Yes.
And you told those grand jurors under oath, she asked, did I hit him? Could I have hit him? Correct?
Yes.
On page 208, lines 24 and 20, I'm sorry, 208 and 209, going on to page 209, lines 1 through 3. You actually recounted to the grand jurors a conversation that you said my client had with a female EMT standing right there, exactly as you testified to today. Female EMT. You see that?
I do, yes.
And what did you say my client's statements were in front of that female EMT?
In this, I say that she said, could I have hit him? Is he dead?
It's actually, did I hit him?
Oh, sorry, I missed that part. I apologize. Did I hit him? Could I have hit him? Is he dead? Is he dead? Is he dead?
And that was at the scene in front of the female EMT, exactly the scene that you're describing. You attributed the three statements to my client to today, right?
There was many different times when we were talking to different EMTs, the female EMT, the men, the police officers.
May I approach?
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, just a moment, Your Honor.
Sure.
Ms. McCabe, your full statement at page 208, starting at lines 22 through 25, going on to page 209, down to line 4, was, quote, so there are different, you know, police officers getting statements from us. And at one point, I'm standing with Ms. Reed, and she's saying, did I hit him? Could I have hit him? And there was, I believe, an EMT, a female, standing right next to me, listening to her yelling, did I hit him? Could I have hit him? Is he dead? Is he dead? Is he dead? It was pretty nonstop, pretty much nonstop. That was your testimony in front of the grand jurors, correct?
Yes, it was.
And that was April 26th, 2022, correct?
Correct.
Not one time. Not one time, Ms. McCabe, did you utter the phrase, I hit him, as it relates to my client in front of that grand jury on April 26th, 2022, did you? Not once.
I'd have to read through the 227 pages to see.
As you sit here today, do you remember ever saying to those grand jurors, she said, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him, in front of a female EMT?
I've spoken to in a few grand juries. What I said specifically at different ones, I don't recall at this moment, but I do know that morning your client said, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him, three times, and there was a female EMT there.
You spoke with Trooper Proctor just the same day, right? January 29th.
Yes.
Trooper Proctor was taking notes?
Yes.
About your conversation?
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm. You reviewed those notes, as a matter of fact, at some point.
I didn't review his notes. I think I've seen a report at one point or another.
On that very day, January 29th, 2022, when you were asked to recount what happened at the scene, who was doing what and who said what? You never told Trooper Proctor that my client said, I hit him either, did you?
Oh, I told him. Yes, I did.
He just leave that out of his report?
I'm not responsible for his report.
No, you're not. But you have read his report.
So again, no comments, Mr. Jackson.
You have read his report, right?
I have seen it before, yes.
May I approach?
Yes. Thank you.
You looked at that report for another particular this morning. Do you still recognize it?
Yes, I do.
Can you review that report, scan it, and let me know when you're done?
Okay, is there something specific I should be looking for?
I don't think you're going to find it, Ms. McCabe. I hit him.
So, again, jurors, disregard the comments. So it's question-answer format only.
My question is, do you see the phrase, I hit him, as it's attributable to my client in that report?
Objection.
System.
Do you recall telling Trooper Proctor that my client said, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him?
Objection.
Do you recall that?
Yes, I told him.
He was taking notes at the time?
He was taking notes, correct.
Those notes ended up being memorialized in a formal report?
I'm assuming he...
The report that you're holding?
I object.
Sustained.
Does that appear to be a report of the January 29th, 11:35 or so a.m. interview that you did with Trooper Proctor?
Yes, it does.
You said you reviewed that report in the past?
Yes, in the past.
And you're aware in no place in that report does the phrase, I hit him, show up anywhere, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
Can I approach?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm an adversarial witness. Sorry, Mr. Brennan, I'm so sorry. I apologize. I'm being vague.
I was just grabbing the report back. Sorry. May I have just a moment, Your Honor?
Sure.
I want to draw your attention to the very early morning hours of January 29th, around 4:53 a.m. when you indicated you received that phone call from Kaylee's phone. Do you have that time and date in mind?
Yes, I do.
my client told you that John had not come home, correct?
Yes.
And you knew that Ms. Reed at that point was awake and looking for John?
I didn't know what, I just knew that she was awake and screaming.
Right, because she was worried about where John was.
Objection.
Sustained.
You've been asked who you communicated with first thing that morning after you received that first call from Ms. Reed, is that right?
Yes.
You were asked by Trooper Prince in her formal interview. Trooper Prince interviewed you on February 1st, about 3 days after the incident, correct?
I met with a lot. I don't really remember specific days.
Do you remember a female trooper?
Yes, I do, actually.
Okay. In your house?
Yes.
Or I should say at your house?
Yes.
That was around 3 days after the incident?
Was it Tuesday, maybe? Yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
I think so, yes, okay. If it's the one I'm thinking.
You were also asked at the same grand jury who you communicated with on the morning of January 29th.
Okay.
You remember that?
Not specifically.
Would it refresh your recollection if we were to take a look at that, a specific page of that grand jury transcript?
Sure.
Do you need a couple of minutes, Mr. Jackson?
I do, Your Honor.
So, jurors, why don't you stand up and stretch, okay? You can too, Ms. McCabe, if you want.
Thanks.
Mr. Jackson, do you want a 5-minute recess? We're still going to stop at 4, so really 5 minutes, folks. We'll have you go back and come back.
We're back in session. You may be seated.
All right, you all set, Mr. Jackson?
I am. Thank you.
Sure. All right, we're bringing the jurors over. Are we still on schedule?
We are.
Okay.
Court is in session. Please be seated.
All right, whenever you're ready, Mr. Jackson.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ms. McCabe, I want to draw your attention back to the morning, later in the morning, after you're back at 34 Fairview, after the police have already cleared the scene, and you're back with your friends and family inside the home at 34 Fairview. We've already talked about the fact that the witnesses were not sequestered in any way, they were not separated in any way by the police. Is that right?
We were just sitting together with friends,
right,
and family, so yeah, no.
Everybody was free, all the friends and family that were in there were free to talk amongst themselves, which you did do, correct?
Yes.
All right, everybody had the opportunity to say their piece and to listen to others say their piece as well.
We had conversations. It was really nothing more than that.
At some point, you did, I think you mentioned this on direct examination, you did reach out to Mike Lank. Is that right?
Yes.
Remind us who Mike Link is in your world, in addition to being a Canton police officer, police sergeant, I think he was at the time. Who is he in your world?
He was just a local guy that I, you know, knew, was friendly with.
And had gone to high school with?
No.
Was he ahead of you in high school?
We weren't in high school at the same time.
Got it. He was about 5 years ahead of you, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. But you'd known him, or known of him, from basically childhood or young adulthood.
Yeah, just knew him from around town.
At some point, you decided that you were going to call Sergeant Lank back to the scene because there was a piece of information that you wanted to provide him again. Sorry, provide him so he needed to come back again.
Yes.
Ultimately, you called him on his cell phone, right?
I did, yes.
So you were close enough that you had his cell phone number, he had your cell phone number?
No, I didn't have his cell phone number.
Where did you get that number?
I asked Julie Albert for that number.
So Julie had his cell phone number?
Yes, she did.
And Julie is Chris's wife?
Yes.
She was at the location?
Yes.
When I say the location, 34 Fairview that morning?
Yes.
As was Chris?
He came at some point. I don't know if he was there when I called Officer Lank or not.
As was Brian Higgins, correct?
Yes, he was.
He came back over to the location as well?
Yes, he did.
As a matter of fact, it was Brian Higgins who suggested that you reach out to Officer Lank.
I'm not sure if it was him who suggested it.
Someone suggested to you that you reach out to Officer Lank, is that right?
As I was sitting there remembering things, I believe, you know, I can't say who did or didn't.
So as you were sitting there remembering things, you weren't just remembering things, you were remembering things and then telling others things that you remembered.
Oh, absolutely.
So
yes.
Others were absorbing whatever information you were providing to them and vice versa.
No one was really providing me any information because they didn't know what happened.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was just sitting there trying to recount what had transpired since I got that 453 phone call.
And one of the things that you decided you wanted to tell Sergeant Lank was a statement by my client.
Yes.
So you call Sergeant Lank on his cell phone, and you're able to get a hold of him, correct?
Yes.
Whatever he's doing, I'm guessing he was busy at the time.
I don't know what he was doing.
But he's the first responder on a death of a police officer case that was just hours old. So he had to be busy.
I would assume. Again, don't know what he was doing.
But in fact, after you got your phone call, you dropped everything and headed back to 34 Fairview, correct?
Objection.
Sustain.
Did he come back to 34 Fairview quickly?
He was there fairly quickly, yes, I would say.
And that was at your request?
Yes, I called him and asked him to come back.
Because you told him that you had information that was important enough that he needed to get over there so you could tell him in person what this new information was.
I called him and told him that I was remembering things and asked if he could come back.
And he didn't just say, yeah, just tell me what it is over the phone. He literally said, okay, I'm going to get in my car, drive in a blizzard. It was still a blizzard, right?
Yes, it was.
I'm going to get all my gear on, drive in a blizzard, back over to 34 Fairview, get out of my cruiser, come into the house, and get ready for this new information that you're going to give me, correct?
He did not say all that, no.
No, that's what he did.
I have no idea what he did. I called him and then he came.
Well,
that's,
he didn't walk over. I mean, he came over his car, right?
I would assume so, yes.
Right. So he had to get his car, drive over to Blizzard, get out of the car, walk through the Blizzard, go to the front door, and get ready for this new meeting that he's going to have with you, correct?
Yes, that seems like steps one would take.
And whatever it was that you wanted to tell him, you let him know it was important enough to have a special additional meeting. It wasn't something that you were just going to sit on. You wanted to give him this information immediately without hesitation, correct?
He said if I remembered anything to give him a call, so I did.
So when he came back over, he obviously had a notepad and a pen in his hand, correct?
I believe he was taking notes.
And you told him, well, you testified this morning that what you told him was Karen Reed said, I hit him, right?
Correct.
Well, when he wrote this report, you said, she said, I hope I didn't hit him. Correct?
I don't have his report in front of me.
Yeah, just one
more. Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You could turn to the orange tab. Do you see that?
I do, yes.
Okay, and you've had a chance to read it?
Just the highlighted
part. May I approach?
Yes.
Thank you. In fact, what you told Officer Lank was something to the effect of, I hope I didn't hit him. Correct?
Incorrect. I told him that she said I hit him.
He wrote in his report, she just read, something to the effect of,
sustained.
I hope I didn't
sustained.
Hit him. Is this another example of an officer getting a report wrong?
Objection.
Sustained.
Is that report right?
Your Honor, objection.
Sustained. Move on, Mr. Jackson.
I hope I didn't hit him, or something to the effect of, I hope I didn't hit him. Sounds an awful lot like, could I have hit him? Did I hit him? Did you agree with that?
It does sound similar, yeah.
You testified yesterday that during that first phone call, that first phone conversation with Ms. Reed at 4:53 a.m., she told you, according to your testimony, that in that phone call, in that very first phone call, Ms. Reed said she had gotten into a fight, her taillight was cracked, and she asked, could I have hit him or did I hit him? Correct?
Incorrect.
Tell me where I'm wrong.
In the first phone call, she had said we got into a fight and he didn't come home and I left him at the waterfall. In the second phone call, once I told her that I saw her outside of my sister's house on Fairview, that is when she said, could she have hit him, and talked about her taillight.
So 2 hours after Ms. Reed found John O'Keefe and began giving him CPR, you were interviewed by Sergeant Sean Good, correct?
Objection.
Ask the question differently, Mr. Jackson.
2 hours after Ms. Reed found Mr. O'Keefe, about 2 hours later, say 8 o'clock, 8:30 in the morning, after the scene was cleared, you were interviewed by Sean Good, were you not?
Objection.
Sustained.
May we approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
May I?
Yes.
Thank you. While you were at the scene, after Ms. Reed had been giving CPR, Sean Good interviewed you, correct?
I don't remember a formal interview with Sean Good.
Do you remember talking to him?
When he arrived at the scene, I do remember briefly talking to him after all three of us gave John CPR.
And he gave you, he asked you certain questions about what you'd seen, what you'd heard, what had happened, correct?
I have to tell you that I remember seeing him there and I remember talking to him, but I do not remember specifics of any conversation or any questions that he asked me.
Do you remember him asking you about any initial calls you had and you telling him about that 4:53 call and the early morning calls thereafter, the initial calls before you met up with Ms. Reed?
I don't recall.
Do Did you tell Sergeant Good, by the way, he's a sergeant at the time. Sean Good was a sergeant, not an officer?
I'm not sure.
Okay. By the way, you knew Sergeant Good, did you not?
I didn't know him. I knew of him, like I knew his name, but that was it.
How'd you know of him before that day?
Because his sister is a year or two younger than me, and I knew she had a brother that was younger, that was a Canton cop, just through the town, but I didn't know him.
Okay, friendly, but not friends.
I wouldn't even say I was friendly with him.
Okay. You actually told Sergeant Good at the time, when he asked about those first phone calls, that when Miss Reed called you, she was inquiring about John's whereabouts, correct?
Again, I don't recall my conversations with Sean Good.
You certainly never mentioned to Sergeant Good the incessant screaming and hysteria that you've described here in court?
Objection.
Sustained.
Did you ever mention anything about an argument or a fight to Sean Good?
Objection.
Sustained, Mr. Jackson. She said she didn't remember. Next question.
I have to go through the series of machinations. I don't know what she remembers and doesn't remember.
Next question, Mr. Jackson.
Did you mention anything about a cracked taillight to Sergeant Good?
Objection.
Sustained.
Do you have no memory at all about what you talked to Sergeant Good about?
There were many officers there,
right.
And like I said, I know I talked to Sergeant Good, but I do not remember the specifics of my conversation during that chaotic scene.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Let me ask a different question. There were many officers there, and many officers were asking you questions, correct?
Correct.
Did you ask, did you tell any officer while at the scene that during those first few phone calls, first couple of phone calls with Miss Reed, that there was incessant screaming and hysteria?
Again, there were many officers asking me questions. Most of them were regarding who John was, if he had medical issues or concerns, things like that.
Right.
It was a chaotic scene. I don't remember any specific questions about phone calls. I apologize.
But you did tell at least one officer about the initial phone call that you received indicating that John may be missing, correct?
I possibly said, I got a phone call and that's why I'm here. We all came out to look for him. I apologize for not remembering specifics.
Did you tell any officer at the scene anything about an argument or fighting that Miss Reed said occurred on that first couple of phone calls?
Again, the conversations were very brief and they were with a lot of different officers. There wasn't
yes or no.
In-depth conversations.
It's yes or no.
Let her answer the question.
Do you recall, that is a yes or no question, do you recall telling any officer about a conversation in the initial couple of phone calls that you had with Miss Reed about fighting or being in an argument? Do you recall that?
I cannot answer yes or no.
Well, you either do or you don't. If you don't,
I said there was many different conversations. I am not sure.
So you don't recall?
I'm not sure on specific conversations about that. I apologize.
Is there a reason why you're not telling us that you simply don't recall making that statement?
Sustained.
Do you recall telling any officer about a cracked taillight that came up in one of those first two phone calls?
At the scene?
At the scene.
Again, I think all the phone call, all the conversations were about what was happening in the present time.
And literally, this was a couple of hours after this incident, correct? When everything was freshest in your mind.
These conversations were at the scene when Miss Reed was running around screaming.
Were you also interviewed by Officer Mullaney?
Again, there were many officers there that I spoke to.
Ms. McCabe, do you understand my question? Did you understand the last question that I asked you?
If I spoke to an Officer Mullaney?
Correct.
Again, I could have. I am not sure. I don't remember every officer. It was a chaotic scene.
So
I had just found my friend on the ground.
So the answer is, I don't remember. Correct?
I don't remember speaking to him.
You.
No, sorry.
Later that morning, you did have a conversation with Officer Lank that you actually do remember, correct?
Yes, correct.
What you told Officer Lank, or Sergeant Lank, was that you received a phone call from Kaylee's phone and that Karen Reed was distraught because John never came home, correct?
I told him she was, I don't remember the exact words, but I told him something like she was hysterical and screaming and said John never came home.
You never mentioned that she said anything about a fight during that initial phone call, correct?
Again, I'm not sure what exactly was said during that initial phone call.
You never mentioned that she said something about a cracked taillight in that initial phone call or those two phone calls, correct?
Are these phone calls with who? Who are these phone calls? Who am I speaking to at this point?
The initial phone calls mm-hmm. that you had with Ms. Reed.
Yes.
You never mentioned to Officer Lank or Sergeant Lank that Ms. Reed mentioned anything about a fight or an argument, correct?
I don't remember.
You never mentioned anything about Ms. Reed saying anything about a cracked taillight in one of those two initial phone calls, correct?
Again, I don't remember all the things that I told Officer Lank.
And you certainly never mentioned that Ms. Reed said anything about could I have hit him in either of those initial phone calls, correct?
Again, I don't remember my specific conversation with Officer Lank.
So you don't remember the conversation that you had with Officer Lank when it was the clear light of day. You had a chance to take a beat and a breath, catch your breath, because it's now 11:00 in the morning. You don't remember anything about that conversation, but according to your testimony, you remember in detail what my client said, waking you out of a dead sleep, correct?
So I didn't speak to him at 11:30. It was earlier in the morning when he came back to Fairview.
Let's call it 9:00, whatever.
Okay.
Right. Whatever. It wasn't the same chaos as my client screaming into the phone that John never came home, waking you out of a dead sleep, correct?
Correct.
But when you recounted that conversation or those conversations to Sergeant Lank, you didn't see a thing about Ms. Reed saying that there had been an argument, did you?
I'm saying I don't remember the specifics of my conversation with Officer Lank. I'm also saying that I was woken up out of a dead sleep. Karen showed up at my house screaming. I went out to help her look for John. And then we found one of my closest friends on the front lawn. And she was saying crazy things and acting crazy and erratic.
Question.
And so every police officer that I spoke to,
let her finish.
Every police officer that I spoke to, I tried to answer their questions the best I could. It took me hours and in some cases days to remember all the things that Ms. Reed had said. My mind, I was in a state of shock. But the minute I remembered, she said, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him. I called Officer Lank.
And your memory is getting better even as we sit here today, correct?
There are certain things I will never forget, Mr. Jackson.
Including the fact that you never, ever, ever said, she said the words I hit him to a grand jury when you were asked about it 3 months after the incident, correct?
She said I hit him, I hit him, I hit him.
You never told that to the grand jury, did you?
I don't remember specifically that every grand jury and everything I said, but I can tell you with 100% accuracy, she screamed, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him.
And you never said that to the grand jurors.
I don't recall if
you
I did.
You were there to get the truth, correct?
The truth is she said, I hit him,
and
I hit him, I hit him.
You were asked that specific question at the grand jury. What did she say at the scene in front of the female EMT? And you know what your answer was? You do, because you just read it.
I wasn't asked what she was said
what
at the
was
scene.
The answer to that question?
I'm objecting.
The objection sustained. Ask one more clear question, Mr. Jackson.
What was the answer you gave in answer to the question about what was said by Ms. Reed to the EMT, the female EMT at the scene? What did you say she said?
I don't know if I was asked specifically what she said to a female EMT.
All right, we're going to end this now.
Your Honor, may I have one more question?
Go ahead.
I can't end it like this.
Jurors, ignore the comments of counsel. Ask one question, Mr. Jackson.
You said that she said, could I have hit him, did I hit him, in the presence of the female EMT. That's what you testified to under oath at the grand jury, isn't it?
Yes, because she also said that.
All right. So, folks, we are done for today. You remember tomorrow is the day that we're not in session. So we will see you Friday. Friday is a full day. And I have to give you those questions. You can stay and file out after the jurors is okay. Please do not discuss this case with anyone. Don't do any independent research or investigation into the case. If you happen to see, hear, or read about the case, please disregard it and let us know and be very careful with your social media. Have a great night, a good day off tomorrow. We'll see you on Friday. Thank you.
Drive to the jury.
Goodbye.
Session, Mr. Yannetti. Mr. Jackson, I'm not rushing you in any way. I just want to know, how much longer do you think you'll be?
I appreciate that, Your Honor. 10 seconds to end the question.
Sure, take your time.
I would expect that I would say an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Okay. Mr. Brennan, do you have any idea how much longer you will be?
With Mrs. McCabe?
Yes.
It depends on how the rest goes, but certainly at this point, 20 minutes or less.
All right, so that will hopefully take us to the luncheon recess, morning recess or the luncheon recess at most. Do you have witnesses lined up for Friday afternoon?
I do. I have a number of witnesses ready for the next 3-4 days, and I've given notice to them, and I will try to tighten the order tomorrow morning, and I'll let the court and the defense know.
Great. All right, and nothing you need to see me about right now?
Not for the Commonwealth.
All right, we'll see you on Friday.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.